Hey everyone, my name is Randall Heyer. I'm the Worship Arts Pastor here at Cochrane Alliance Church. We are so glad that you've come to check out the latest sermon. We pray that you are encouraged, you are challenged, and ultimately drawn closer to Jesus. Enjoy.
Well, good day. Welcome to all of you here today. And to those of you who are joining us online, we're really glad that you are with us and trust that you've been blessed as already we've connected with the Lord and with one another through the table. We are in our second week of our Audible series today, seeking to learn as a church family how to listen to God's voice as we navigate the twists and turns of our lives. And I think Randall got us off to a really good start last week in John 10, where Jesus assured us that he does indeed speak to us. Since he is our good shepherd, we, his sheep, can indeed learn to recognize his voice and follow him towards whatever pathway or pasture he may take us. Now, some of you may be wondering, okay, how does that work exactly? Because when Jesus was giving that teaching, the disciples got to hear Jesus' human voice on top of a mountain, in a boat, in the upper room, with some of the words we just heard, on the road to Emmaus. But we don't have him around in the same bodily way. How in the world are we supposed to hear? Because maybe our series' title is a little misleading. It isn't actually an audible voice. Well, good news, we have it even better than the disciples. Because in our time, the guiding, disciplining voice of Jesus has been internalized in the hearts and minds of his people. And this happens through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That is to say, when Jesus departed physically from our world, he didn't leave us as orphans with no capacity to hear his encouraging and guiding words. Instead, his Father sent the Holy Spirit so that we could continue to hear him talk to us. And if you need some proof, here's Jesus talking to his disciples on the Thursday night, the same night that he instituted the meal we just celebrated. In that same time, he gave a little sermon to his disciples, and this is what he said, John 16, starting in verse 12. "There is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said, the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me." In other words, when the Holy Spirit comes, and he has come, he will ensure that, like the original 12 disciples, you still get to be shepherded. Jesus will remind you of what he's taught you when you need it. He'll guide you when you need to make decisions about your future. He'll tell you how he feels about you. He'll ignite your conscience when you've missed the mark. Whatever Jesus needs to communicate to you, the Spirit's job is to ensure that you hear it. I believe Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, is still shepherding, still communicating, still eager to guide and direct us. Do you believe that today? If you might indulge me, I'd like to share a little of my own journey as I have sought to learn how to hear the voice of the shepherd. I'd like to take you back 16 and a half years ago to the spring of 2004, when I was in my last full semester at Regent College in Vancouver, British Columbia. Cindy was pregnant with our oldest daughter, Katie, and my time at grad school was coming to an end. I was looking for a job, and the board, actually led by Don, who led us in communion this morning, they asked whether I would consider rejoining the staff team because they had just lost their key player in Mike. And to entice me to come back, Don said that I would get to preach just a little under half the time. For whatever reason, I felt very apprehensive about this potential move. And there was a profound sense of insecurity in my heart at the time. And I wondered if the board, some of you were on the board at that time, I wondered if you would ever see me as an adult leader on the team or if I was more the designated youth guy for life. The day I was to fly back here to talk to Don and the board, I was praying a lot in the forest that surrounds the UBC campus. That was a regular habit for me when I was there. And still, walking and praying continues to be a regular discipline of mine when I can keep moving and have a conversation with the Lord. Towards the end of the walk, I had a profound sense that I was no longer walking alone, and that Jesus himself was now present with me, walking with me in the bush. And of course, I know that he wasn't there bodily, but I do believe with all my heart that the Holy Spirit was doing his thing of letting me know that the Good Shepherd had something to say to me. There was not actually a whole lot that he said. It was actually just four words. I am with you. And for me, that meant, look, Jason, go talk to the leadership at Cochrane Alliance Church and don't be so worried. I'll go with you. It'll be okay. And he did go with me. And you did, for better or worse, hire me, not only for the associate role, but within 8 months, for your lead pastor as Don got led by Jesus in a similar way to serve at our district office. And for the past 16 years, Jesus has kept his promise to me. He stuck with me in the early years of learning to be a lead pastor. He placed me in a church that has been very gracious in letting me address my own immaturity and insecurity. I've grown as a husband and a father not only of one daughter, but of four. He has called fantastic leaders, both men and women, to work alongside me and to carry along the load of ministry. And he's walked with us as we've grown and experimented together from those of you who remember back in the early or mid-2000s, the church has left the building to our Open the Door campaign when we completely overhauled this facility, to what we did together earlier this year in the early days of the pandemic by raising up dozens of ambassadors to serve the community, pray for one another, and meet practical needs in that time. Now to a more recent part of that story. I'm fast-forwarding now to late spring and early summer this year, where Cindy and I were asking questions to God about how I might best use my gifts and experience to serve the church. We became aware then that the people of Vernon Alliance Church were asking the Holy Spirit to help them figure out who might be the right person to lead them in the next season of their collective life. After reading through that profile a bunch of times and talking with Cindy, thinking about it, I felt like I could be a potential fit. And that, perhaps, leading in a new context might be the next important step for me to steward my own spiritual gifts and experience. I was reluctant to ask God directly about this, but on July 13th, I know it was that day because I have the conversation recorded in my journal, I finally did ask him the direct question: should I apply for a different role? I also had some other questions. Who am I to think that I could do this? What about the timing? What about the team of people who lead with me now? What about? The answers were actually very simple, but the basics were, Jason, go ahead and apply, although I'm not telling you where this is going to go. And secondly, leave the whatabouts to me. And so I did. And like all things in life seem to go, the process unfolded, sometimes too slowly for us and sometimes too quickly. And by the end of September, the elders invited me to the Okanagan to talk more seriously about the prospect of serving in Vernon. I probably had 14 hours of conversation over the course of 36 hours. At the end of that, what came back to me were many of those same insecure emotions that I had when I was 28 years old and walking the path at Regent College. Am I the right fit? Am I really up to the challenges of serving these people, a church that God has used so profoundly for decades in the Okanagan? Jason, do you really think that you are the kind of leader that could help these people navigate into the 2020s? And the most profound feeling that I had was uncertainty. So when the board there invited me to candidate officially, I told them that I needed some time to think about it. The next morning, while we were still in Vernon, I was up early because I couldn't sleep. By 6 o'clock, I decided that it was a better use of my time to just get up and go for a walk and pray. And our hotel was in a commercial district in the city, and I decided that, it wasn't a great place to pray, but we just kind of walked through all the big box stores, and rolling around were all the thoughts about my leadership, my walk with God, and I didn't hear anything incredibly special. But at the edge of that commercial district is a pathway system along BX Creek. And as soon as I got to the edge of the forest, the thought immediately came to me, Jason, if you go in there, you will hear from him again, just like you heard in Vancouver. So I did go in, and I walked for about 5 minutes until I stopped at a big old willow tree. I think it's a willow tree. And as I stood there, sure enough, Jesus had some things to say to me. It was not in an audible voice, but it is in that distinct way your heart and your mind are aware that what you are hearing is not simply your own rational thoughts. And what I heard was, Jason, I want you to go. Think, process all you want. But in terms of what's next, it's not just about you. I want you to phone the elders back today and tell them that you'll candidate. Surprisingly, he told me what passage he wanted me to preach when I spoke to the church there. And the final thing was that when it came to today, the Sunday that I would publicly resign from Cochrane Alliance, I needed to tell you the story of my walk alongside the creek. On the way back to the hotel, all kinds of different thoughts came into my head. Really? Was that God, or was that something I had to eat last night? Was that something in my subconscious mind? Am I just really tired? And very quickly, God responded to my doubts. And he said something like, Jason, I have just made it as clear as I possibly can for you. In fact, I rarely get more direct, more clear than I just did. So if you can't follow through on something so simple, so basic, then don't expect to hear from me anymore in the future. Because I can't trust you to follow through on what I've told you. So I went back to the hotel. I wrote it all down. I composed myself and tried to explain to Cindy everything that had just happened. And we did phone the elders back. Last weekend, I spent some time getting to know the people of Vernon Alliance Church, and I preached from Ecclesiastes 3. On Tuesday this week, I informed the Board of Elders here that I was resigning as your lead pastor. And this morning, I am telling you this story, or a little piece of it anyways, because I am seeking to honor what God has told me to do. Two things that need to be said. One about hearing God's voice, and the other about our relationship as pastor and church family. The hearing God part. For those of you who are not followers of Jesus yet, I would say that you may think this story may sound a little far out, a little freaky, maybe. And I get it. But I would suggest that conversations with the Holy Spirit are just part and parcel of what it is to know and follow a personal God. One of the foundations of Christianity is that God is real, that he is a person, and that he can be known. I believe that this kind of faith, not just some kind of life philosophy or a set of moral principles, that kind of faith has power to help you navigate this life all the way into the next. To those of you who are Christians, you may think, well, that's great, Jason. God speaks to pastors. That sounds right. It should be that way. You folks are spiritual leaders after all, which means you should be given special capacity to hear God's voice and receive divine guidance. You get special privileges. If that's what you think today, I believe that you are missing something. Hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, the guidance of the Great Shepherd, these are equal opportunity privileges given to all sheep. All God's kids, regardless of their job or their age or their status. And if you don't believe me, listen to Peter on the day of Pentecost, the day that the Holy Spirit was first given to Christians. He stood up to give some kind of explanation to the assembled crowd to explain what had just happened. Here's what he said. Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Now listen to the democratic language here. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Look, Peter says, now that Jesus has come, anyone who puts their faith in him has access to the Holy Spirit. Old and young, men and women, clergy and laity, upper class and poor. All of them will be given the capacity to hear God. Not just first century Christians, not just apostles, not just pastors and spiritual leaders, but everyone. So, Christians, if you have never cultivated your Holy Spirit-given capacity to hear God's voice, to follow his leading, to hear what he thinks about you, to get course corrected and encouraged, why not? True, learning to hear God's voice is a bit of an art, which needs to be learned and stewarded very carefully. It does take practice, but it is a privilege you have in Jesus Christ. Why not take some baby steps with us this month? And now in my relationship with you as your lead pastor, what can I say? This is the only church that I have ever served. With the exception of 2 years in Vancouver, Cindy and I have lived out our entire adult lives with you as our family. It is in this church family that my girls have come to know Jesus and have been nurtured and supported in their life and faith. Although there is much more that needs to be said in the coming days, the primary emotion that I need to express today is gratitude. Thank you. Thank you for loving us well. Although I trust that we will form deep friendships and ties with the people of Vernon, there is a unique and unreplaceable bond that we will always share with you. I would also like to express my deep appreciation and respect for your board of elders and the rest of the staff team. I am wholly confident that the spiritual maturity, the leadership gifts, the passions, and the giftings necessary to lead you well in this transitional season, they are already in place. And I charge you to work with your leaders to listen to God's voice, not just as individuals, but as you collectively seek the voice of the Holy Spirit and his guidance for you in the coming days. And let's face it, pastors like me are merely under-shepherds. We lead and guide people under the authority of the great shepherd who loves you more than I ever could, knows the plans he has for you, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. He is the one who has poured out his spirit on you, giving you the power to serve this town and the capacity to hear his voice so that you know what to do. Cindy and I will be watching with interest to see where he leads you. With that in mind, I'd like to read the letter I submitted to the board on Tuesday night. To the elders of Cochrane Alliance Church, it is with tremendously mixed emotions that I submit my resignation as lead pastor of Cochrane Alliance Church effective December 15th, 2020. Over the past number of months, Cindy and I have participated in a process designed to discern whether I might be a good fit for the lead pastor role at Vernon Alliance Church. After much prayer, dozens of conversations with our families, friends, and mentors, as well as a robust candidation process in BC, we believe that God is calling us to serve alongside the elders and staff at VAC. Cindy and I have articulated our life's purpose this way: to know and experience God profoundly and to bring others along for the ride. Over the past 12 months, I've had a growing sense that the next step in living out this adventure might be to journey into unfamiliar territory. Of course, the greatest downside of such a decision relates to the people we will leave behind in Alberta. Aside from my own family, there is no community on the planet that matters to me as much as you. Cochrane Alliance Church has been, to me, both a school and a family. As a school, you have given me latitude to experiment in ministry. You've encouraged me to develop the crafts of leadership and preaching, and called me to pastor with greater maturity and vision. You took a risk twice on me. First in 1997, when you brought me on to lead youth as an untested pastor. And again in 2005, when you placed the care of this body in the hands of a naive 29-year-old. For your investment, patience, and confidence, I thank you. If in the future Vernon Alliance finds me to be a competent and compassionate pastor, they will have you to thank. As a family, you have loved us faithfully, working with us to raise and shape our daughters, standing beside us in seasons of difficulty, and giving us a wide berth to enjoy life and be ourselves. You have indeed become brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers in the faith. Although Paul's words in Philippians 1 are often applied to individual Christians, they were originally meant for a local church family, and I believe they reflect my heart as I conclude my ministry among you and imagine where Jesus will call you in the days ahead. He wrote, "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion on the day of Christ Jesus. May he prove himself faithful to us as he carries on his good work in Cochrane, in Vernon, and around the world. With deep gratitude, Jason Kaliba." At this time, I want to invite John Schwab, the chair of our board, to just respond to some of these words and give you a little bit of information on how we proceed together as a family.
Cochrane Alliance family. My name is John Schwab, and I have the privilege of serving as chair of the Board of Elders at Cochrane Alliance Church. On Tuesday, October 27th, Pastor Jason Kaliba tendered his resignation. It was with bittersweet emotions that we accepted his resignation and celebrated this next adventure that God has called him and Cindy into. Although I understand that for many of you this news may seem as a shock, we as a board have been aware of this possibility for some time. In the open and honest way that Jason has led with the board, he led us into this journey at the appropriate time as events unfolded. He has walked us through what God was speaking to his heart and how clearly he feels called to take on this new assignment. Jason, I want to express deep gratitude for how you have served our Lord and this church community. Personally, you have walked me through some significant mountaintops and deep valleys. You visited my family in the hospital. You've listened as we've shared hard news. You've given us counsel in confusing and discouraging times. You have celebrated and encouraged, taught and prayed with us. You have mentored me, called me into leadership, and you have been a good friend. I'm going to miss you. And I know I'm not alone in this. You and Cindy have poured much of your life, your time, and your energy into loving and walking with the people that call this church home. In the 21 years you have served this church community, you have touched thousands of lives. As is said of the servant in the parable in Matthew's gospel, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. We are thankful for your leadership, for the gift of preaching God's word, and for how you have cared for, counseled, and shepherded us. You have grown and matured personally, walked with God, experienced him, and invited us to join you. Now, we as a board truly believe that God has guided Jason and Cindy to accept the lead pastor position at Vernon Alliance. They are our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we are excited to see what God has in store for them through Jason's leadership. And it is with our blessing that you go. It is also encouraging that just as God has been speaking to Jason and Cindy to lead them on, there is also a story being written in the heart and life of another leader to whom God is shaping, leading, and calling here to Cochrane Alliance Church. Now, the board has already met with a representative of the Western Canadian District to help guide us through this transition. Although these are uncharted waters for some in our community, with council, we are already in the initial steps of developing a transitional leadership. Once that is in place, we will spend some time hearing from God where he is leading us as a church and what kind of leader we will search for. We trust that God already has this leader in mind. Now, during this transition, I would encourage us to stay connected to Jesus, the vine. As we abide in him, he will produce much fruit during this season. Let us remember his words, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." We endeavor to provide you regular updates of the process. I would like you to be aware of the members of the board, and if you guys are present, can you please stand? Blaine Ellerby, Steve Gross, Brad Smith, John Wilcox, Simon Ongum serves as treasurer, John Wicker as secretary, Doyle Peterson as vice chair, and I serve as chair. Our contact information is available on the church's website and in the e-bulletin. Please feel free to contact any of us with your questions or to pray. We would ask for your prayers that we may humbly lead with wisdom and direction from our Lord. If any of you would like to pray after the service today, please come find us. You guys can be seated. Thank you. I would like to leave you with 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Scripture says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. Jason and congregation, let me pray with you. God, Father, Holy Spirit, Jesus, thank you for leading us. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you that you are alive and active in our hearts, in our lives, and in this community. We thank you that you are calling Jason to greater leadership, to greater adventures with you. We ask that you would bless him and that you would stay close to him and strengthen him. God, I ask for a blessing over this congregation, over our church. We trust you. You have been so faithful. And we ask that you would lead us through this next season, this transition, and into a new season of leadership. Help us to have open hearts, produce much fruit in us as we stay connected to you, our source of life. In your name, amen.